Stay tuned now for Dr. Steven Zelikoff and a program you will not want to miss. Bone Talk. That's Bone Talk with Dr. Steven Zelikoff on 1460 WVOX.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Steven Zelikoff, and we're here with Bone Talk. Very excited on WVOX. This is American Diabetes Month, and our topic today is going to be focusing on understanding diabetes and understanding the impact of diabetes on the body, and particularly on the foot and ankle. I'm very fortunate today. We have two amazing guests that have joined us for the show. We have Christine McGinnis, who is the nurse educator at Montefiore New Rochelle in the Diabetes Center over there. And she's going to be talking to us a little bit about what diabetes is and some of the numbers. We're also very fortunate we have Dr. Jared Littlejohn, who's here today. He's head of foot and ankle surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and is with Specialty Orthopedics. So both of you, welcome, and thank you so much for coming and joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So just to sort of go ahead and get started, Christina, if you can please go ahead and just tell us a little bit about, you know, what is diabetes?
Okay, diabetes is a metabolic disease where your blood sugar is too high and you can't actually break down and use carbohydrate, fats, or proteins correctly. So it's important that you take care of it. November is Diabetes Month, and I'm very glad to be here. And if you go to the American Diabetes Association website, you can do a risk analysis for yourself individually or for other people that you care about online. And then you can bring that risk factor to your doctor and then ask to be tested.
Now, what are some of the risk factors for developing diabetes?
Well, certainly obesity and inactivity are two big ones that we have some control over, but also the race, our family history. If we've had gestational diabetes in the past, those are also very big risk factors, as is age.
Okay. What is the magic age where you have to start worrying about diabetes?
Actually, depending on the type of diabetes, you really have to worry about it younger and younger. We used to say it was 65 years, but now we're seeing such a large part of the population, you know, in their 30s and 40s and even in the teen years now.
Wow. Now, how big of a problem is it? I mean, statistically, if you look at the United States at this point and in our New York area, how big of an issue is diabetes?
Well, and there's about 34.2 million people, or 1 in 10 people in America. And in New York, it's a little more. It's 1 in 8 with diabetes. And that's mostly type 2 diabetes.
Wow.
Because there are three types.
Can you tell us a little about the different types of diabetes?
Sure. Type 1, which we used to consider, you know, juvenile, which we no longer do because we know that it spans the entire age group, although more often it is in children where their body stops making insulin and they need insulin. Everybody with diabetes needs diet and exercise, but people with type 1 need insulin and to live. But, okay, you know, gestational is during pregnancy, and you will be tested if you are pregnant for this, and you need to keep your blood sugar in good control. But the majority of people, 95%, have type 2.
And usually when you develop type 2, that's usually later in life, or is that something? You had mentioned 65, and now we're starting to see them younger. I mean, say you're 45 or 50, how are you going to know whether you have diabetes or not?
If you have a family history, you should ask your doctor from age 45 on every year to have your blood sugar done and a hemoglobin A1C, which will look back on an average blood sugar.
Okay. Now, as far as some of the signs and symptoms that people with diabetes may have, say you haven't seen your doctor in a while, what are some of the things that maybe things to sort of look out for in terms of the symptoms of diabetes?
The most common is extreme thirst and very frequent urination, feeling very fatigued, past tired, just fatigued. You have no energy because you're not getting nourished because you have diabetes. Eye trouble is very common. People have vision changes as their blood sugar goes up or goes down. People have even had, you know, neuropathy or tingling in their feet and toes before they're ever diagnosed with diabetes. And this is why we want to find more people with diabetes, because there's too many people without diabetes that are getting complications before they're diagnosed.
Wow. Thank you again. This is just to reintroduce you. This is Christina McGinnis, who's the nurse educator in the Diabetes Center at Montefiore New Rochelle. So you mentioned diagnosis. I mean, how is diabetes diagnosed?
If you go to the doctor and you have a fasting blood sugar and it's 126 or higher, that is diabetes. If your hemoglobin A1C is 6.5 or higher, that is diabetes. Or any random 200 blood sugar is diabetes.
Now, if you had a candy bar the night before, would that affect that? Or?
No, because your body should make insulin. If you have no trouble with diabetes, you would wake up under 100 every single morning, and your sugar, no matter what you ate, even if it was your birthday cake, you would be no more than 125.
Okay. Wow. Now, there's something called pre-diabetes that sort of I've heard about. Can you tell us a little bit about what pre-diabetes is?
Yes, unfortunately, pre-diabetes is the period before the body has full diabetes, and it's very important that people find out about it early and treat it early, because pre-diabetes, you can prevent it from becoming type 2 diabetes. It's sort of like the time between when you still have a good chance of improving your weight and your exercise and your habits, so that you don't get type 2 diabetes.
Now, how do you diagnose it? What is pre-diabetes, as far as I understand it, it's before you actually get it?
Right.
What is the lab test that you look for? Or what is there that would say that I have pre-diabetes or I have no diabetes? How would I know?
If your blood sugar in the morning is between 100 and 125, that's pre-diabetes. If your hemoglobin A1C is a 5.7 to 6.4, that's pre-diabetes. And if your blood sugar after a meal is over 140, that could be pre-diabetes.
Wow. So now, given the fact that we now know these parameters and what we consider pre-diabetes, and obviously what you want is to avoid getting into diabetes given some of the complications, and we're going to talk a little bit about those things with Dr. Littlejohn in terms of, like, once somebody goes ahead and has diabetes, how often should you have your bloods checked? I mean, you know, is this something where if you have a family history, say your mom or dad had diabetes, type 2 diabetes, if you're just straight, I'm say 45 years old, how often should I be going to the doctor and getting my blood checked? Or is this something that, you know, would do it once a year? Is this fine?
A yearly physical would be fine unless you develop symptoms of diabetes in between.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, we talked a little bit about the issues with some of the complications that people can get with diabetes. What are the most common complications?
Obviously, there's a huge host of problems, and it's very important if you have diabetes that you not only take care of your blood sugar, but your blood pressure and your cholesterol, and never, ever smoke.
Okay. Well, smoking is a bad idea regardless. Impact of obesity and diabetes, what's the correlation there?
Well, the more weight you have, the harder it is for your pancreas to make the right amount of insulin to take the sugar out of the bloodstream and nourish your entire body. So especially if you carry your weight in your abdomen, that makes all your body organs work harder, including your pancreas. So if you have pre-diabetes, the first thing, and there's a new program in the last 10 years, Diabetes Prevention Program, and it's based on research, and they found that if people just lose 5 to 7% of their body weight and increase their exercise to 150 minutes a week, they can prevent type 2 diabetes. And, you know, that's a really good thing.
That's terrific. It's good to know. When you say exercise, and I think that exercise is good for everything, obviously, and the impact of cutting, you know, and losing weight is also very helpful. It's good for your hips. It's good for your knees. It's good for your joints. But as far as exercise, how strenuous does that have to be? Is walking enough, or do you need to actually get out there and get your heart rate to a certain level to make it effective?
Well, we don't, you know, encourage you to jump out there and do, you know, strenuous exercise, but a quick walk, not window shopping. If you can walk and you feel that your heart rate is going up, you don't have to measure it. There's watches and things that will do that for you if you want. But the key is to, if you can't talk, you should slow down. If you can sing, you better speed up to make it count.
Okay, that's great. Now, as far as COVID, obviously we're all living through the pandemic right now. What is the role of COVID and diabetes? Are people with diabetes more likely to get COVID, or is it once they have COVID that their prognosis is worse because they have a higher risk of developing problems?
Well, they're not more likely to get COVID, but their risk factor of having diabetes can make it much more serious. And lots of the treatments that we do for COVID patients increase the person's blood sugar, like steroids that you hear about. And if your sugar's out of whack, you don't heal well. And that's a big problem. So we want to make sure during this time of COVID that people are seeing their doctor. They are getting their blood work, whether they go in person or they do a televisit. It's important that you still have your visits done with all of your doctors.
I think that's so important because everybody's terrified to go to the doctor's office. They're afraid of, you know, contracting COVID. But I think particularly if you're diabetic, if you have a risk, a series of risk factors, I think it's so important that you go and get checked out. And not ignore this, because the secondary issues can be really tragic and can be real problem as far as your kidney function, your blood pressure, and a whole host of other problems. So, I mean, once we're now talking a little bit about the impact of some of the consequences of developing diabetes, and some of these things aren't early on. I think when somebody has well-established diabetes, and sometimes that's out of control. It impacts a lot of things. It impacts blood supply. It impacts wound healing. I mean, I deal with it as an orthopedic surgeon, and most of what I deal with in terms of doing hip and knee replacements is that people with hemoglobin A1Cs of over 8 are much more likely to develop wound infections. They're much more likely to develop wound healing problems. So we really try to focus our patients to try to get them healthier before doing any surgery. But certainly the foot and ankle is where there's a lot of consequences that sort of come into that. And Dr. Jared Littlejohn is here with us today. Again, he's head of foot and ankle surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and also works out of specialty orthopedics. So again, Jared, welcome. Thanks so much for being here. Can you talk a little bit about how diabetes affects your feet and what are some of the symptoms to look for if you're diabetic?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, thanks for having us here because I think this is a really important topic that really I think people in the general public need to be educated on more and more. But a couple of ways that diabetes really affects your feet. Obviously, there's multiple ways, but two of the most important ones would be neuropathy, which was previously mentioned briefly. And neuropathy is just when you have nerve damage, typically in those that have uncontrolled or really poorly controlled diabetes. And that nerve damage causes numbness and tingling in your feet. That numbness and tingling can progress and continue, you know, getting worse and worse. And the second way that it kind of affects your feet and your ankles particularly is reducing the amount of blood flow. And that's called peripheral vascular disease. But starting back with neuropathy, basically what happens when you become neuropathic and you get this numbness and tingling, you lose the ability to feel certain sensations. So whether it's pain, heat, or cold, particularly in those diabetics that have very bad neuropathy, you don't feel increased pressures on your feet. For example, you may not feel, say you have a rock or something in your shoe and you're walking, and because you have numbness, you don't realize that you're walking on that. You can develop a wound, and that wound can go on and on without you realizing it. And then that kind of leads into the peripheral vascular disease part of it as well, because when you have these increased blood sugars, it causes fatty deposits to build up in your arteries, which then reduce the flow of blood down to your feet and to your ankles. And without good blood flow, you really can't heal wounds that well. And these can lead to infections and, unfortunately, amputations. So it's a kind of a 1-2 punch with the neuropathy and the peripheral vascular disease, because you can develop a wound and not know it, and then you don't have great blood flow and you can't heal that wound after it happens. So some of the symptoms that, you know, diabetics should really be looking out for is losing sensation, losing that feeling, and having some numbness and tingling in your toes and in your feet. That's usually where it starts out. And then you can develop, you know, obviously looking for blisters or wounds, skin color and temperature changes in your feet, and then even finding like drainage on your socks. Those are some things that you should be, you know, on the lookout for as a diabetic.
How does diabetic neuropathy differ from, say, neuropathy from your spine? I mean,
yeah. So diabetic neuropathy, you know, it's typically it starts more in your toes and progresses and works its way kind of up. Versus, you know, this, you know, neurologic origin in your spine and stuff. You typically get more of like a shooting and sharp type of pain that radiates from your spine, and you may only feel it down in your legs, but it typically is originating up in your spine. Whereas the diabetic neuropathy, you slowly develop this numbness and tingling over time. And some people might not even realize it. They even, you know, we hear a lot of times people complaining of cramping in their feet and that sort of thing. And so that's kind of the two differentiations between those.
So thank you. I mean, so it seems obviously that the most important thing that people can do is just really making sure that they get good examinations on a regular basis. Can you talk a little bit why it's important for diabetics to have regular foot exams by a podiatrist?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things that even though we may think that we're checking our feet regularly, when's the last time you really looked at the bottom of your foot? And most people, they probably can't remember the last time they, you know, they look between their toes and all that, even with showering and bathing. So it's very important, especially for diabetics, to get your feet checked. You may have developed a wound. You may have developed a small little cut or an abrasion that you know could lead to further problems down the road. You know, when you go to get your foot examined, it's not just looking at the skin and making sure you don't have a cut or a wound or even a blister. What they're looking for is evaluating your pulses and checking how good the blood flow is to your feet and to your toes. They're using a little, you might have seen it if you've ever had one before, it's called a monofilament to assess your sensation in your feet throughout in different parts of your foot. Also, during your foot examinations, they're looking for areas that look like they're prone to developing a wound or an ulcer. And these are high impact areas. So maybe, you know, as you walk, you develop calluses. That's a good sign that that's an area of increased pressure on your foot that could be a potential for a wound to develop. So it's important to identify those early and to treat them and offload those areas so that you don't have that increased pressure, which could ultimately end up leading to a wound.
So again, we're here with Dr. Jared Littlejohn, who's the head of foot and ankle surgery at Montefiore Rochelle, talking about the impact of diabetes in the foot and ankle. So if somebody does come in and they've got the beginning of either a callus or they've got some early sores in the bottom of their foot, what do you do about it? I mean, how do you go ahead and treat those?
Yeah, so, you know, if you already have an existing wound or you have an ulcer or you have, you know, a large callus that looks like it could turn into one, first you want to do a full assessment. So you're going to, you know, make sure you have adequate blood flow and you're able to heal these wounds in addition to taking the pressure off that's, you know, causing the wound. And this may be a very, you know, multi-specialty approach. So we like to, you know, in medicine, you like to have a very team-based approach to these. And so that's, you know, ultimately, one, you're going to want to start treating the ulcer and whatever, you know, whatever's causing it, you know, you have to help to offload it, make sure there's no infection and help it to get better. Right. But ultimately, you want to make sure that the patient, you know, is optimized to get better. So whether that's first checking pulses, say you don't have great blood flow, you'd likely be referred to a vascular surgeon so that they can, you know, do some studies to see, you know, where the problem is. And maybe they have to do some procedures to open up and restore some better blood flow that you can heal it. Secondly, you know, you want to make sure that you're seeing your endocrinologist or your primary care doctor frequently so that they can really optimize and make sure your blood sugars are under good control and you know, really are staying on top of it. Because if you ever, you know, you don't want to be playing catch up when you have diabetes. You'd like to stay on top of it initially so that you can really, you know, prevent these problems from happening in the first place.
So that's really, really good information. I mean, I think that having a multidisciplinary approach to managing diabetes and sort of dealing with foot issues and stuff like that is so important in terms of bringing in the vascular specialist, the endocrinologist, the medical doctor, as well as the podiatric specialist in terms of trying to offload these things and trying to get them to heal before there's a problem. I think that one of the concerns is also is that given the fact that these things don't heal very well, making sure that people don't get cuts on the end of their feet, you know, making sure that either a podiatrist goes ahead and trims their toenails, making sure that they don't get a sore when somebody's cutting something down below, if they're not able to actively deal with that. So from a foot care standpoint, what foot care recommendations do you have for the people with diabetes?
Yeah, so just from the basics, first, just every day, take a look at your feet. You know, if you're not able to you know, bend down and look at the bottom of your feet, maybe you're not able to bend your leg all the way up to examine it, I recommend even just using a mirror, putting a mirror on the ground and putting your foot over the mirror so that you can actually see what's going on at the bottom. A second one is to really check in between your toes. You know, so many people, they don't ever open up their toes and look, and you get moisture that develops in between your toes and the web spaces, and that causes skin breakdown, which can lead to ulceration. Another thing is just to make sure if you have hammer toes or bunions and you have very large corns that develop, we see a lot of times diabetics that have these wounds develop on the top of their joints where their hammer toes are, and then that ends up breaking down and they end up getting bone infections and leads to amputations, and that is obviously something we want to avoid. Obviously, besides the daily foot inspections, just making sure you know there are no cuts or anything else, I recommend wearing very thick, soft socks. And particularly in diabetics, avoiding wearing socks with seams. They make a special sock for diabetics that doesn't have seams, so you don't have that friction and irritation that can develop.
Where do you get that?
You can get them at your pharmacy, at your surgical supply store, and even online. Okay. Another thing that I recommend my patients to do is to wear plain white socks in addition. Try to avoid wearing black and gray socks, because if you do have a cut or you have a wound on the bottom of your foot and it's draining or has, you know, blood or anything else, you'd be able to see that on a white sock versus you may miss it if it's a black or a gray sock. So that's a good way to be able to check every day. Again, avoid walking barefoot. That's a huge risk factor for stepping on something you may not even know on the ground and end up developing a cut or a sore. And then always avoid trying to trim and cut your own calluses by yourself. A lot of times people either go too deep or they end up stabbing themselves with whatever they're using. And it just leads to a lot more problems down the road than what they started with. And then obviously just overall, make sure you're exercising, check your blood sugars daily, and then, you know, have your regular checkups with your endocrinologist or primary care doctor, really optimize your...
Is there a role for things like orthotics, special shoe wear, and things like that with elevated toe boxes to sort of make more room for the feet and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's actually special shoes that we would call diabetic shoes. They're an accommodative shoe, meaning the insole is very soft, it's very cushioning, and it kind of forms to the foot to help offload any, you know, high prominent areas. They're also kind of roomy at the toes so that you don't have any irritation rubbing at the top. A lot of times people end up, you know, wearing the wrong shoes and wearing shoes that are too small, particularly those with neuropathy. They don't realize that their toes are crammed into the very end of their shoes, and that causes irritations and other problems. So it's always great to make sure, you know, you're wearing the right shoes. Have shoes fitted. I know it's not a thing you really see that often anymore, but you can still go and be sized for shoes and make sure you're getting the correct size and you're not wearing something too small that's going to cause you other problems.
Now, again, just to sort of bring up the issue of COVID, you know, we talked a little about the importance of getting seen. Is it safe for patients to come to the office to get seen and evaluated at this point or to go to the hospital?
Yeah, it is safe. And, you know, I think everyone is taking the appropriate precautions and PPE and temperature checks, you know, coming in. But I think the risks, it's particularly for diabetics, of not going in to get examinations, you know, the risk outweigh the benefits of not going in. So I think it's very important that you go in, you get seen, and you get checked. Because you could have developed a wound that you, you know, may not have even known because you're avoiding, you know, going to the doctor out of concern for COVID. And that could just lead and snowball and to make it much, much worse, which could lead, you know, to infections and unfortunately amputations. In fact, there was a recent study that showed the number, it looked at a 6-week period in March and April compared to this time last year. And the amount of amputations, in diabetics had increased by 27% compared to last year, just from diabetics not going and getting the care they need, as you know, they typically would out of concern for COVID. That's which sobering. Is obviously a big concern.
Very sobering. Yeah. Thanks again. That's Dr. Jared Littlejohn, who's a head of foot and ankle surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and with specialty orthopedics. So Christina McGinnis, the programs at Montefiore New Rochelle and the Diabetes Center, in terms of resources available for our patients,
we have a full staff of diabetes educators. We have nurses and nutritionists, and we do see you individually. We can talk to you on the phone or do a Zoom visit, and we also have diabetes classes, and most insurances do cover diabetes education, and diabetes education will help you learn how to take care of your diabetes, because ultimately you're in charge, and you need the tools and the education so that you can properly take care of your diabetes, and with good blood sugar control, you'll have less of the problems.
As far as how do patients find you? I mean, how do they track you down?
they can just call the hospital and they'll transfer you to the diabetes center. You could ask your doctor and they can refer you to the diabetes center. Our program has been around for over 20 years and we're approved by the American Diabetes Association as a recognized program. So I know we also are coaches for the National Diabetes Prevention Program. And, you know, we do run programs for people through that program also.
Okay, that's great to know. That's at the Montefiore New Rochelle Diabetes Program.
Right.
Perfect. And you can ask for Christina McGinnis, who's the nurse educator there, as she can certainly help you with that. And Dr. Littlejohn, if people have any questions for you in terms of how to address that, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah, they can reach us through the Office of Specialty Orthopedics or through the hospital at Montefiore New Rochelle. We have a clinic there as well.
And the website at for Specialty Orthopedics?
It's specialtyorthony.com.
Great. And I know you have some good information on there,
yeah,
on diabetes.
Absolutely.
And on dealing with diabetic issues and diabetic problems. So, you know, to sort of summarize, I mean, I think that diabetes is obviously a massive problem. It's something that, you know, unfortunately, you know, the ones that we know about are the ones that we can hopefully reach and treat. Unfortunately, there's a lot of patients out there that probably have diabetes or prediabetes, aren't aware of it, and really need to make sure that they sort of just are aware of how to sort of take care of themselves. Again, please don't forget to exercise, watch your weight, see your doctor, and get checked. I think that's absolutely the most important thing to keep in mind. So again, I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Christina McGinnis, a nurse educator at the Montefiore New Rochelle Diabetes Program, and Dr. Jared Littlejohn, head of foot and ankle surgery at Montefiore New Rochelle and with Specialty Orthopedics. My name is Steven Zelikoff, and this is Bone Talk. Thanks so much for listening on WVOX.